The home of jump racing. This is where the magic happens. Feel like a Cheltenham favourite with Paddy Power.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Road to Cheltenham Roadshow. We are coming to you live from Leopard Sand Racecourse after a fabulous first day of the Dublin Racing Festival. We're going to be reflecting on everything that's happened here, the top action around in Britain as well, what's happened in the past 7 days, and be looking ahead as well tomorrow to day two of the Dublin Racing Festival. I'm delighted to say that, as usual, I have Ruby Walsh alongside, but with us this evening, we're delighted to have Jane Mangan as a guest, and she'll be providing her opinions as well. And we've got a live studio audience. Yay! Amazing to have a live crowd. And welcome to you as well, who are watching on Extra and also on our YouTube channel and also via Facebook. If you have any questions, we'll be taking them online from you and also live from you in the audience. So we look forward to what you've got to say to contribute to the show. There's loads to get through, so we're going to kick on with it. And we're going to start, Ruby, I think, with today's Irish Gold Cup.
I think we'll start with the start, because when we usually do this show, you definitely record the intro three, maybe four times, and you've just nailed it live.
I know, it's funny, isn't it? Just when the pressure's on, you just perform, don't you? Yeah, you know, you can learn from this.
I am always learning.
Irish Gold Cup, what did you make of Conflated?
Oh, I thought Conflated was very, very good. Going forward, the horse to take out of it was definitely Manila Indo. I thought it was a huge step forward for him. But Conflated, look, he could be the surprise package. I mean, he's won a handicap on his last start. He's improving. I thought it was an aggressive ride from Davy Russell. I did have doubts rising away from the second last. Have you just gone about it too soon? But he said it himself in the post-race interview. He rolled the dice. Mm. I either gone too soon or they weren't going to catch me. And he called it absolutely spot on.
Should we, Jane, be considering Conflated a genuine potential Boodles Cheltenham Gold Cup horse?
That's a fair question. I think he's put in an impressive performance today, but I still don't see it. Now, I didn't see today happening, and I certainly didn't see it at 18-1. When he crossed the line, I thought he was going to be much bigger. Manila Indo is, as Ruby said, he's firmly put himself back after a really disappointing effort in the King George. I was disappointed with Kenboy today, and Frodon dropped away, but Davy rode this horse with belief that many punters didn't have, but he's going to have to step forward again. He won a handicap, he's now won the Irish Gold Cup, but there was question marks about some of the other performances, and I'm just not going to get carried away.
Did it look like a crawl early on, do you think, the two?
They went steady, yeah, I thought they did, but that can happen. Water, ground, St. Sam had made a run in the Arkell, didn't get home. It just puts doubts in your minds. Jockeys watch every race and every track.
I hope they do.
Well, some do. That adds to the tactics that people...
It was a little bit conservative, I thought, maybe from Briony and Paul, because we were aware coming into the race, they might take each other on, which they didn't. They were well spread out in the track. Frodon was even looking at the inside wing at a few fences. He was so idle. The horse that maybe coming into the race went nearly off favourite. Asterion Forlange, like, he was the talking horse after the King George, even though I thought personally he didn't stay, regardless of how he ended up on the ground. He made a mistake at the second last, but was beaten at that stage anyway. Funnily for him, he actually jumped straight today.
He did. But beforehand, William Ellis was saying to Nick Luck on Racing TV that Asterion Forlange doesn't like the wind around.
Asterion Forlange doesn't like a lot of things.
Again, Willie said that too. We'll come back to Asterion Forlange later on in the show. He might well come up when we're talking about the Stayers Hurdle. Manila Indo.
Sorry, Willie though. He doesn't get home. Like I rode him in both divisions. If you don't stay in the King George, which is why Jane thought he fell, and I would agree, like a staying hurdle is more stamina sapping. Mm. There's less to jump, more galloping. He looks a doubtful stayer. So before you even get to there, is he really going to come into that conversation?
So are you talking about Ryanair if he's going to Cheltenham at all?
Would look, to me, trip looks an issue for him. And it won't be my call, but to me, you have to stay every yard of 3 miles and a bit further to win a stayer's hurdle, and he doesn't look like a stayer to me.
I think other things are the primary issue with Asterion Forlange. That steady early pace, which I think was kind of self-defeating for Frodon and Kenboy in many ways, it wouldn't have suited Manila Indo. Do you think he ended up having a hard race? Either of you?
Not particularly. I thought Robbie was always in the simple position. You know, pre-race, they asked about, you know, tactics. He said, I'm just going to ride my horse. And he's sitting in the middle of them. Horse is completely relaxed. Got into a lovely rhythm. I thought Conflated kind of stole a few lengths on him off the home bend, a couple of few lengths that Manila Indo could never really get back. But I think everybody is of the consensus that we're going to see a better horse next month. There's no reason to suggest Conflated won't be better next month, but it was definitely a step in the right direction for a horse that we know is probably a stone better at Cheltenham.
I think by their intentions, connections of Manila Indo, their intentions were set out as what they wanted to do with a rider. Mm-hmm. They wanted somebody today and into Cheltenham. Mm-hmm. And I think by accident, they've made the right call. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they had made the right call prior, but now they have. You couldn't, and they couldn't foresee Conflated going and winning. Davy Russell can't ride Conflated and Galvin.
Yeah.
So Jack could be required to ride the other, and they've got themselves a rider. Now, I can understand what they were, sort of understand what they were doing. I didn't see the logic in it, and I think by accident they've landed on a result.
I was going to mention to you, surely that we can try this as a positive for Galvin, who, you know, just stayed at home and watched on while this was all going on.
And at Plutar, but then take a line through Kenboy. Kenboy's right beside them in the Savills chase. So, yeah, I don't know if today's Irish Gold Cup is a vintage race.
Yeah, okay. Manila Indo has been trimmed, but we're going to be using Paddy Power prices all evening into 72 for the Gold Cup. Now, I think we have a question in the audience, don't we? If I'm told rightly. From Paddy Redmond from Paddy Power, is that right?
Paddy Desmond.
Desmond, sorry, apologies.
Paddy Desmond from Paddy Power.
Yeah, Paddy, if you'd like to give your question.
No, Paddy's going to talk about the Irish Gold Cup better.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You know more than me. Go ahead.
So Conflator was obviously the biggest mover, 8-1 from 66s. Manila Indo also changed 7-2 from 5-1, and you have to imagine like that was a brilliant, brilliant prep for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, having been so disappointing in the King George. But they're the two biggest movers. We pushed Applute Hard ever so slightly out to 10-3. Gold Cup looks a bit stronger maybe than it did earlier today. But yeah, Conflator the main mover, and we've the $150,000 bonus, which could go to him if he goes and wins in Cheltenham.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you very much for that update. Last question on this section is about the Cotswold Chase. Does it have any relevance whatsoever to the Gold Cup at all?
No. It wouldn't have relevance if it was the Hunter's Chase.
Ooh, ouch, that hurts.
Sorry, it is the Hunter's Chase now, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to put a nail in Chantry House's coffin just yet.
Why?
I think Nico has that way of riding. He, to me, his rear end went into the saddle very rarely. He rides with his hands, and he was gathering the horse without ever really asking him. Now, maybe he could have pulled away, but when you traditionally look at Nicky Henderson, the Cotswold Chase Nicky used as a trial. I don't think the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup was a trial. It was a race in itself.
Yes.
And I think you'll see a much different Chantry House going forward. I would be at times quick enough to slam horses, but I'll just be cautious with him.
Just, it was the post-race after cross the line, neighed, switched the tail, Nico had to get off. You know, that he had a race.
He had a really hard race. He came home really slowly as well. How about your favourite horse, Santini?
I think Polly Gundry's done an incredible job with him.
Still not quite fit, you know how stuffy he is. He's going to do better than that, I think.
He can do, but what would impress me about Santini was the enthusiasm he showed, which I didn't see in Santini in a long time. Mm.
Okay. All right, well, that is the Gold Cup and how we're thinking about the Buddha's Gold Cup at Cheltenham, the sort of staying chase division. Let's move on now to the novice chases. We had a fabulous edition of the Irish Arkle here today. Jane, if you could kick it off. This was the race of the day for me. What did you make of it?
It was. Look, St. Sam, he was immaculate and he's jumping in front. He was quick, and when he needed to get in tight, you know, Rachel had a really willing partner. Autumn Colour, unfortunately, didn't last long in it. But the mare had her experience, and to be fair to Blue Lord, he put her to the pin of her collar. I thought she was probably... I still thought she might have won. There was a little bit of interference. It was minimal. There was stewards had a look at it. They didn't turn it around. I knew in Ireland it wouldn't be turned around. If in a different jurisdiction, it would.
That wasn't the question. She asked you,
would I have turned it around? I think Paul Townend was being very clever. And
you still haven't answered the question.
Yeah. I really like the mare, and I don't want to leave my heart get in the way. Probably not. But anyway, Blue Lord for me was a weak finisher over hurdles. And he... Again, there's still a question mark. I think she'd have got him. I think she'd have got him today.
I think she would have done too. How about you?
I think so too. I think Blue Lord was lucky to hold it. I can see what Paul Townend did even. I would have done the same thing myself. But I think he was lucky to hang on to it. Mm. I think there was considerable interference. You stall a horse who's lost momentum. I thought it's the dark arts. That's what the dark arts are. And I thought Paul was was brilliant. He held it because that's the way the rules are written. But it easily could have been turned around. And I think Riviera Detel was slightly unlucky. I would look at it slightly different, though. For the Gold Cup, you would need a strong finisher here over 3 miles. Mm-hmm. But for the Arkle, a weak finisher wouldn't bother me. If you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I think the strong finishers, like St. Sam, who missed the second last and was plugging on again, to me, he wants to go up and trip, mm-hmm. whereas Blue Lord, who was fading here, would be absolutely fine in the Arkle at Cheltenham. This is 2 miles in one. It's really stiff. 1.5 miles in the Arkle, that'll be fine.
Riviera Detel will be £2 worse off, won't she, with Blue Lord when it comes to the Arkle, because they have to wait off.
Yeah, she was getting 9 today instead of the 7 from the rest. And you could argue that he'll improve a little bit more given her experience. But she surprised me a lot. She won the Clarion Davis, she won the Craddockstown. She's now more versatile in how she's been ridden. Mm. I was asked before, what would I do, put the kettle on, and I said, oh, mares. And they went, the Arkle, and they won. And then they went to the Champion Chase, and said, mares. And she won the Champion Chase. So don't underestimate
them. I'm with
them.
You, Jane, I'm with you, don't worry.
I personally don't think this year's Arkle is a terribly strong division. Now with the defector of Fernie Hollow.
Yeah.
So, that's just my opinion.
I'd definitely go to the Arkle with her, but Gordon Elliott was talking about using this to decide whether he took on the geldings or took on the mares.
She stays well enough to go further. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. And actually, either way, regardless of the interference, the jump of the last was the difference between winning and losing anyway. Yeah.
She's only 5. Go mares next year. Be brave.
She jumps right. But she jumped a bit straighter in the Fred Winter when she ran in that, the Beadles Fred Winter.
I didn't notice, and we have no footage to play back. I'll take her word for it.
Well, when she reached for the last, she went to her right, didn't she?
I think it was a do or die kind of lunge at the fence. Yeah, she's typically a very good jumper, and she's won around Navan, she's won around Punchestown. I think she's learning all the time, she's getting more professional.
Let's talk about some of the English horses, shall we? Third time lucky. Came back against Full Pleasure in the Lightning Chase at Doncaster. What did you make of that?
Well, look, I was a fan of Full Pleasure after his win in Plumpton. I thought he was very good, very professional. And I thought third time lucky had him beaten up a stick when he fell at the last. Change of tactics. I was pro Harry Skelton doing what he did in the Henry VIII, but definitely the change of tactics suited third time lucky. Mm. You assume he'd ride him the same way in the Arkle. And he's a runner. Doncaster, Cheltenham, very different tracks. He's a player in an open race.
I think he could, now that he shows that he can do that, that means that he might be able to distribute his energy a little bit better at Cheltenham than he has done before. What do you think?
He's bags of speed. Mm. There's no need to land there as he did over hurdles, was in the county top of the hill. No need to be in front there. He travels really quick, and I'd say they're just learning about him all the time. But that brings us back to Edwardstone.
Yes.
To Henry VIII. Obviously, third time lucky didn't run his race for whatever reason, but Edwardstone, I think, is the key horse in the UK.
He absolutely thumped him on that occasion, didn't he?
And backed it up in the Wayward Lad.
Yeah, and it's not a fluke. You know, this horse has been good for a long time. I think we're only just catching on to him now. Mm. He's, I think, the best horse in this division in the UK.
He's got the Cheltenham question to answer. He has run there, not particularly well, but he looks like a chaser more than a herder anyway.
Yeah, possibly. I think we can often read too much into tracks. I mean, can you really judge a horse off one run at any course? Mm-hmm.
Probably not. No. Okay, so in terms of the betting, Blue Lord is 11-4 unchanged, and Edwardstone is around 3-1. Who's got the best form in the race now? Coming into today, I'd have said it was Edwardstone. Is it now? Has the Irish Arkle eclipsed what Edwardstone has done? Do you think, the two of you?
Coming into the race, I would have probably thought the mare because of her, you know, proximity to Fernie Hollow. But then she was getting £13. We mustn't forget that. So I'm not a big fan of Blue Lord, but I can't knock what he's done.
Okay. Let's move on to the turners, shall we, and talk about the horses that we might be going over 2.5 miles. Of the ones that ran in the Irish Arkle today, are you suggesting that St. Sam might go up?
Yeah, look,
that?
Even though he's forward going and he's free, he missed the second last, and he's a good bit closer at the line than he looks like he's going to be turning in. He looked like he was going to be completely run out of the race, but he's kept going well to be a closing third, actually. So, he's potentially a horse that could go up and trip out of the Arkle. We don't know about Hawthorn Colour.
We've got a British horse in this division that could actually be a player, Lompresse, who ran and won the Scilly Isles today. Pretty impressively, did, I suppose, what he was expected to do?
Yeah, Paul Nicholls was a little bit bullish about Pictori. He came into the race the highest rated. L'Empressé was a little bit harassed by the loose horse Gladiator Allen, lit him up a little bit down the back. I thought that will already give him an excuse to finish a little bit weakly, but he didn't. Marginally to his left.
Typical.
Yeah, but I'm a big admirer of this horse. I was when he won the Dipper, because I like the mare that he beat. So I think he's very talented.
How about you?
Oh, same. But Ascot did it for me. And it's not the horse that was second or third. So it's fourth, fifth, and sixth at Ascot. It was a graduation chase. People go on about Brave Man's Game. L'Empressé has done the very same thing. So he's improving the whole time. And Venetia Williams and Charlie Deutsch are having an incredible season.
They really are. First grade one win for Charlie Deutsch with that Silly Isle success earlier on today. And L'Empressé is 11-2 from 8-1 with Paddy Power for the Turner's Chase. Tomorrow's Ladbrokes Novice Chase. What are we expecting? I'll go to you, Jane, first. What are you expecting here in Leopardstown?
Probably the race of the day tomorrow, because, of course, the champion isn't typically that competitive. Galopin Deschamps was sublime in his beginner's chase. Everybody was waxing lyrical. I just need to see him back it up now. There's Fury Road is a legitimate, very, very good horse. Probably deserves to be top of the market for what he's achieved, beating a 1.58 horse here comprehensively in Run Wild Fred. Throw in Master McShee from Limerick.
Capodanno. Beacon Edge.
See, I think I'm a big fan of Capodanno, but if he wins tomorrow, sure, we're all over Bob Ollinger, because he looked like he was going to give him a race, and then he got left for dead at Punchestown. So it all just points back to Galopin Deschamps. If he can repeat what he did in the beginner's chase, I think that might even be good enough.
Now, Ruby, Liam A has got a question for you. He said, wonder if you ask Ruby why the Mullins camp, so happy to let it be known, Galopin Deschamps will probably change trip at odds to how they normally keep their cards firmly to their chest, trying to scare off Bob Ollinger to go to the RSA and scare off potential opponents. Hashtag Ruby free pass.
What's free pass mean?
You're trying to get Galopin Deschamps a free pass straight into the Turners with Bob
Ollinger somewhere else. Yeah, I'd say if that worked, we probably would have done it years ago. we wouldn't have just cottoned on to that at this late stage.
Liam A. You tell him, you look straight down the camera and tell him.
Liam A, no, if that tactic...
not around the eyes, in the eyes.
If that tactic worked, Liam, we would have been doing it years ago, trust me. Willie Mullins didn't commit Galopin Deschamps left or right when he won here, and everyone jumped on to him being favoured for the Brown Advisory because he'd won the Daily Mirror at Punchestown. But he also won the Martin Pipe. His first run for Willie was over 2 miles, and he jumps like a horse that can jump at speed. I'm sounding the code. I'm sounding the warning for everybody that don't be surprised if he does. I'm not telling you he is, but it won't surprise me. And then some people will be shouting, "No, Willie Mullins has done it again." Willie Mullins hasn't committed, left or right. Everyone seems to think he's going to the 3 miles, but I wait till you see what happens tomorrow. Now, I know that's the risk or the chance you take with anti-post betting, but don't whinge if he ends up in the Turners.
Well, equally, you've got to form your opinion about the horse and what the suitability of the task for the horse is. Now, that's always strikes me about anti-post betting.
Yeah, and to me, he strikes me as a 2.5 miler. And especially if you look at him, he's a 6-year-old, and look at the record of 6-year-olds in one race versus the other. And you look at the speed at which he jumps, to me, a lot more points to the Turners than does the Brown Advisory, but I seem to be in the minority.
What would you do?
I admire Willie Mullins for never pigeonholing his horses for particular distances, and he trains them as horses, not as, you know, for particular races. So I am not getting involved in this debate, but I think the pace at which he jumps leans to the shorter distance, but we'll find out tomorrow.
We certainly will. Betting from Paddy Power in this area. Galopin Deschamps 2-1 for the Brown Advisory. Brave Man's Game 100-30. Ahoy Senor 9-2. Ahoy Senor ran in the Towton at Wetherby today, Ruby. What did you make of it?
He's in the Turners at 9-2. No, Brown
Advisory. I said Brown Advisory.
I think Ahoy Senor is a very, very good racehorse. His tendency to jump right will have to be a concern. He did it in Newbury, he did it again today at Wetherby. I thought he jumped better today than he has done at either Newbury or Kempton, but it's still a work in progress.
You've changed your mind on that, haven't you? Because you felt after Newbury that he, although he adjusted right, he didn't go so far right that you would need to correct him. Is that something that you've evolved on?
The quicker he went in New Wetherby this afternoon, he was quite right early, but down the home straight,
he
got a lot straighter.
Yeah, that's true.
He did get straighter going faster, and maybe in a competitive contest, it'll make him concentrate and actually go about his job. I think he's a horse with a huge engine, but he still looks raw, doesn't he?
Yeah, and just the way he gallops, I'm like, does he need heavy ground? I'm trying to think, the way he carries himself and the way he hits the ground, maybe that's just me being speculative. Today he beat a horse called Noble Yates. Yeah, he did it really well. Noble Yates was lapped by Statler, and that's a nice segue for you into the favourite.
Funny how Noble Yates today, after wearing a hood in his last two starts in the Paddy Power and at Nace last week, had the hood removed today and he ran much better.
Yeah, he's a head scratcher. Thought he ran well in the Paddy Power here, to be honest, under Derek O'Connor, but we'll see. Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned Statler. Let's go back to that Nace Grade 3. What did you make of it?
Impressive. Some people were saying before that, oh, he's not just a stamina horse. He ran well in the Albert Bartlett, but I think he is. I think he's just stay. Beat Farouk Delane, of course. That's a line through Master McShee's form because he's the horse that got nabbed on the line down there. Does he lack a bit of class? I think so. But it's a 3-mile-6 National Hunt Chase. Mm-hmm. Could be good enough to win.
Mm-hmm. What did you make of that?
Thought his jumping would want to have been as good as it was, and I don't know why, but the National Hunt Chase seems to suit really hardened battled campaigners.
Definitely.
And I thought Statler was very good at Fairhouse. I thought he made one or two.
Lands very steep.
Yeah, just wasn't as convinced by his jumping in this. Missed away from the stands, third last, second last. No problem with him staying, but he just doesn't have the profile. I think he has the quality, mm-hmm. but so many quality horses get beaten in that race and by horses that are lesser than them.
How did En Béton come back? Was he okay?
He was fine. He looks like he wants to go back and trip.
Yeah, jumping was spectacular until he made one mistake and it was just lights out.
Mm. Yeah.
Stopped forever too quickly for it to be natural.
That's why I wondered whether there was an issue.
No, he was fine.
All right, okay, which is good news. Okay, so the National Hunt Chase prices is Statler 3-1. Run Wild Fred 130. He was withdrawn from that race with the temperature. He goes straight to Cheltenham. He does have the profile for that.
Yeah,
he's got
the horse.
Hardened.
He does, isn't he?
He's
profile.
The horse. Now, we'll see Fury Road tomorrow. That'll give us a line through that form. But when he won in Navan, he won a Tritown Chase. Talk about battle hardened. That handicap, that's how he broke his maiden. That's a good horse. Mm. I'm sure Jamie Codd will be hoping.
Second in last year's Tieste is the Cocoa Beach. He's a lot of runs, a lot of experience. And, you know, when it gets down and dirty over 3 miles and 6, he just has that miles in the tank.
There were a couple of novices in the Thiestes this season. Dial Kerr did best of them, but On the Ropes was in there as well. Again, he couldn't get into the meat of the race at any stage. Has he got a hope in the National Hunt Chase?
I think it'll suit him better, 3 miles and 6. Bit better ground, he's representing On the Ropes.
Yeah, does he lack tactical pace?
I think so. Good God, yes.
One in Limerick. A bit drier ground.
I was amazed he stayed on in the Ladbrokes Trophy, how he did.
Yeah, he missed the break that day. I wouldn't just write him off. I think he has the profile at a price.
The All Care surprised me in the Thiestes. I thought he was going to detach himself. Mm. He's often been a really bad jumper. For a horse that was like grade 2 class maybe over hurdles, second in the Galmoy last year, he hasn't taken to chasing that well. But Sam Ewing got him around, got him into a rhythm, and I think he finished third. Mm. Don't think he jumps well enough.
No, there was a mistake early, which he did well to recover from, didn't he?
But yeah, he's not a natural, and I was really impressed with the young guy to get him around because that wasn't a mean feat.
Okay, so those are the novice chasers. Next up is the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. Now, we've already had Asterion Flange dismissed for this race, so I'm not even going to bother bringing him up. But we are going to talk about the Galmoy first off. And this was the defeat of Classical Dream by Royal Kahala. Jane, Royal Kahala, running against Geldings for the first time, stepped up to 3 miles for the first time, always been a really decent mare. Peter Fahey's said how good she is, and she's starting to prove it at that level.
Yeah, she just seems to have this, you need to have soft ground. There's a little bit of a contingency with Royal Kahala. A lot of Irish punters went into Cheltenham last year. She was in accumulators backing up her Fairy House form, and she completely disappointed. Now, she returned lame. She had her excuse. She came back here. She nabbed Heaven Help Us, the Carl Cup winner.
She did well.
Tell Me Something Girl was behind her. Now, she was conceding weight to both of them, but stepping up in trip, she was ridden with great confidence in Gorn, obviously Classical Dream for whatever reason, we'll get to him, but she could only do what she did. And I think if the ground is soft, on the first day they'll go for the mares. That's what it seems to be, depending on the weather forecast. But I'd love to see her in the stairs because I don't think, aside from Flooring Porter, I don't think it's a terribly strong race.
I'd love to see her in the stairs. I think she's starting to look like a three-miler. I thought she did really well to get up here and beat Heaven Help Us previously. But I think this is a new horizon that's opened up to her. But he's... he really hasn't committed himself, has he? He's talked about that he does
he's
need cutting
smart.
The ground.
That's a smart thing to do. Why would he commit himself, especially when he's kind of at the mercy of the skies? But yeah, she stays very well. She's wife Lemon's first. She's the Lady Rebecca family. There's a little bit of a Cheltenham connection. So yeah, I'd like to see her go that way.
Classical Dream, what went wrong?
I don't know. Just blew out. I mean, you can't say he ran too keen because he ran pretty much the same way as he ran here at Leopardstown at Christmas. You can't say he jumped poorly because he jumped brilliantly. But it's like he switched them off turning it and he just cut out and faded badly down the straight. Look, Home by the Lee and Ashdale Bob are decent horses. Ashdale Bob was coming back after some poor runs over fences. Home by the Lee didn't even have a mark over hurdles. I think the whole race is questionable.
Wasn't it just steadily run and it was sort of a positional race? So that
shouldn't matter to a Supreme winner if he turned up. Mm. He didn't turn up.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about Classical Dream. I'm talking about more the proximity of Home by the Lee and Ashdale Bob.
Perhaps.
And that they were always at the fore. In terms of Classical Dream, could he have recoiled? I mean, he went hard over Christmas, didn't he,
Of course he could. And he's a very lightly raced horse. That was what Classical Dream. His only run last season was at Punchestown. He could have recoiled. Of course he could. Two runs over 3 miles. But it was a big disappointment and it's back to the, not back to the drawing board, but it's definitely a work in progress to get him back to the Cheltenham Festival and get him back there in good condition. But I was more kind of questioning Royal Kahala. You're making a strong case for, and it's a funny race to stay as hurdle, but I'm not certain that particular form is good enough to win it.
I prefer Classical Dream, I'll be perfectly honest. I'll come back as to why that is when we've sort of finished this section. But Paddy Desmond is going to give us an update on the prices for his sponsored race, Paddy Power's sponsored race at the Cheltenham Festival, the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. Over to you, Paddy.
Yeah, so there hasn't been many updates, obviously, since Boat Champ and Classical Dream, both disappointing the last day. We shortened up Flooring Porter as a result. And it looks really wide open now at the moment, having both of those disappointed.
It really does. So as a result of Classical Dream being beaten by Royal Kahala in the Galmoy, it meant that Champ was promoted to favourite and he barely lasted 48 hours because he was beaten, Ruby, in the Cleeve.
Yeah, remarkable stuff. I mean, I said it in commentary. I thought Paisley Park, if I was Aidan Coleman, I'd have gone back into the parade ring and been thinking about the World Hurdle instead of trying to chase down a race that I didn't think he could possibly win. But what does the result ultimately do? It's an amazing performance in Paisley Park. And he had shown some progress from Newbury to Ascot with a change of tactics. Is it back to a peak performance from him? But how reliable is he? I think the whole race is a puzzle. And I think the one horse that strengthened his position for doing nothing is Flooring Porter.
What was your take on the Cleeve?
I was disappointed with the whole thing because I thought Champ was going to solidify his place in it. And I really, no disrespect to Paisley Park, he was used to be able to set your clock by him. But now we're going to be looking at the start of the Stayers Hurdle. We're going to be thinking, is Paisley Park going to whip around and is Classical Dream going to bolt? It's going to be, there's going to be eyes everywhere at the start. And Danny Mullins is going to be on the sharp end, you can be sure. Look, Flooring Porter was 6 last year when he did what he did. I think he showed he's a little bit more... not mentally mature because he's a little bit of a head case, but he was a little bit more versatile here when he got a lead. He jumped a little bit straighter. He's now 7. He should be better than last year. If he's better than last year, he wins. Paisley Park turned in last year, laid down his challenge, wasn't good enough, and I don't see him improving past Flooring Porter at the age of 10.
Yeah, so yes, is Champ. So is Champ. And 10-year-olds have a shocking record, haven't they?
Yeah, only Crimson Embers is old. No horse that has won the Stayers Hurdle in its entire history, apart from the with double figure age, other than Crimson Embers, who's an 11-year-old.
That's why she's leading this show. That's some stuff.
You used to tease me about that
she's
one before.
She's wearing an earpiece.
Don't spoil the magic of television. Terrible. Right, that's the Stayers Hurdle. Right. Next up is the social media poll. We asked you, and thank you very much for responding to this. Who is the shakiest Cheltenham favourite right now and why? I'm going to go around the room and ask what everybody thinks here. So before I tell you the answers. So the four choices that you've got are Constitution Hill, Sir Gerhard, Bob Ollinger or Flooring Porter. Which of those, Ruby, is the shakiest favourite right now?
I don't think Flooring Porter is. Bob Ollinger, I think that's a question about 24 hours too early for me.
Answer the question. Jane, answer the question.
Shake is Constitution Hill.
Constitution Hill. Jane, what's your answer?
I was going to say him as well because it's probably the most competitive race. Yeah, if I'm going to go against Ruby and just be maybe Bob Ollinger just when he's jumping.
Okay, so Constitution Hill, Bob Ollinger. Let's go around. Will, can you pass the microphone round? So I'll just remind you all what the choices are. Constitution Hill, Sir Gerhard, Bob Ollinger, Flooring Porter, which is the worst favourite right now? Deafening silence.
I think Bob Ollinger.
Why is that?
I don't know. I've just got a gut feeling.
I like a gut feeling.
That's my gut feeling on that.
Anyone else? Half of you? Yeah, excellent.
Constitution Hill, simply because the opposition is so strong. It's got to be one of the best Supremes we've seen ever.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Anyone else with a view? No? Okay, right. Well, I'll tell you what the audience made online of it. So, the least popular for this answer, so they think the strongest favourite, is Sir Gerhard. Who's favourite for the Ballymore and not definite to go for the race? I mean, you know, there's question marks about... There's a reason why we put these four horses in. There's question marks about all of them. Anyway, only 17% think he's the shakiest favourite. 19.9% think that Bob Ollinger is the shakiest favourite. So that's with you. And also your views about his jumping for the Turners. 21.3% with Constitution Hill, for which the argument is exactly that it's a really deep race. 41.7% thinks that Flooring Porter is the shakiest of those four. I just can't have that.
Neither can I. I'd love to know the explanation for everybody that voted for Flooring Porter.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I can offer you an explanation because Ryan Watmore says, has to be Flooring Porter. That whole stayers division is very unpredictable and there's also the chance he could lose his head at the start. Think Classical Dream has been written off too quickly, personally. I tend to agree with that. I think he has been written off a bit too quickly. His form... If he's at his best, he's either, you know, the girl with the curl, isn't he? He's either brilliant or awful. And when he's at his very, very best...
Explain that one to us, the girl with the curl.
There once was a girl who had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead, and when she was good, she was very, very good, and when she was bad, she was horrid.
There you are, then. Do you know that one?
Oh, yeah. My God. I'm confused now. Like, you've got your hard-earned money and you're looking at a horse that literally stopped at the second lap without any pressure being applied.
Well, I think the key is it's non-winner, no bet. I am assuming that if he turns up at... He's 5-1 non-winner, no bet. And if he turns up at Cheltenham, if he delivers the level of form that he's capable of, that form is the best in the race. He's fourth in with the best form in the race.
True.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Fair enough. it's a nice riddle, isn't it? Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for complimenting my riddle. Chris McGuinness argues that Constitution Hill beat nothing, won at Sandown twice on soft ground, trained a poor record in the race and has a serious field up against him. That I agree with, Chris McGuinness. How he's 2-1 is madness, blatantly overhyped based on what he's achieved so far.
Harsh.
That's what Chris thinks.
Harsh, Chris, harsh.
Okay, so that's the social poll. Thank you very much for voting,
everybody. The man that trains him trained a few winners at that Supreme, didn't
he? Has he? What's his name again?
Henderson.
That's the guy.
That Altior thing, did he win one?
He also has like more than one chance of winning this year's Supreme.
I know. Right, we're going to talk about that in a few moments' time. Let's move on. Okay, to the Novice Hurdlers, which is going to be quite a meaty subject. In our opening race today at the Dublin Racing Festival, we saw the Nathaniel Lacey Solicitors Novice Hurdle, and we saw, now let me make sure that I get this wrong, right, Manila Kakuna beat Manila Crooner. That is right, isn't it?
Yeah, we did. We did shout out to John Allen today, live on telly, for the same year. These horses named that. Punters around the country accidentally backing the wrong horse. Well, I hope you're on.
Can you imagine filling in the docker now? Manila Kakuna.
Manila, sort of. I'm just
chucking it back in. I'd say there was no mistake there, Jen.
What did you make of that race?
It didn't inspire me too much, but this division probably doesn't. They looked. I thought Hollow Games disappointed. He looked slow. Mm. Yes, there was an excuse for Manila Crooner with his mistake at the second last. I don't think he'd have changed the result anyway. Danny was very good on the front horse. Slick jumping, quick, filled him up, stacked him up at the second last. It was just a very good ride. I think that's what won the day.
Okay. What was your take on that?
I concur. Right. I was a little disappointed with Hollow Games. Grand Jury didn't fire, but does it put a question mark over the Nace race? Maybe. Or maybe Jinto just bottomed the two behind him. And that's quite possible too.
I was really disappointed with Hollow Games. I was quite taken with Manila Crooner. I thought he did and something wrong. There's plenty to work on there. He made some fiddly mistakes earlier. Obviously, the critter was a mistake at the second last. And I think he's kind of... This is the first time he's been put in at this level. I thought he was interesting. I wondered whether Willie might even go for the Ballymore with Manila Crooner because of how quick he was over his hurdles.
He could. I know Willie thinks this race should be 2.5 miles at this meeting rather than 2.6 miles. So he could.
Let's go to Paddy Desmond next, who has an update for us again for the Albert Bartlett, then how this race today has impacted on that at the Cheltenham Festival. Paddy.
So Manila Crooner is now 7-1 and Manila Cocooner is 8-1, which is going to cause more confusion considering they're so close in price, unlike today. But we still have Jinto as favourite, despite the fact that you could argue maybe his form wasn't franked with Hollow Games being third and Henry's horse not running so well. But I think when you look at the new track in Cheltenham, Manila Crooner did make that mistake at the second last. He was coming back at Manila Cocooner close to the line, and the Albert Bartlett should suit, and it makes sense therefore that he's ahead of Manila Cocooner.
Crooners and Cocooners beautifully navigated there. I can only look on with great admiration. Let's talk about Bardenston Lad, shall we, who won for John McConnell at Musselburgh, a three-horse race today. Jane, what did you make of him?
I'll be honest, I didn't see it.
Oh God, sorry. Did you see it?
You had two bits of homework to do and you couldn't do one.
I did a Hoy Senor and I did the other one. This
L'Empresse.
Possibly because it was a three-runner race that I didn't think would be that significant.
Again, it was three...
Have you done your homework?
I've watched the finish.
The last furlong.
Did he
win by 30 lengths?
He went by 11.
Oh. Look, three runners, two of them were Irish. Look, you said last week, in our Zoom call, we were not rehearsing, but...
Doing our homework? You're
spoiling the magic of
discussing how we make this happen.
Yeah. this beautiful thing.
You just wonder about the English novices. I mean, there's a race. You know, Gordon Elliott gave out about it in the paper this morning. Good race planning out of John McConnell. And he's picked up a good pot. Could I see it winning the Albert Bartlett? No.
He's improving all the time, I think. He pulled right away. He's clearly got a lot of stamina. And again, he's got the right... And I know you were disagreeing with me the other day, but he's got the right kind of profile for the race. He's got, you know, 8 previous races. It's still a fact that only the 2 future Gold Cup winners have managed to win an Albert Bartlett with less than 6 previous career starts.
One being Minilindo.
And the other one being Bobsworth.
And the other one being Monkfish.
No, he'd had 6.
Had he? Bumpers included. Mm-hmm. Right.
We're talking about the Albert Bartlett this year as it's just not inspiring me. And you named off like those horses, even take Monkfish's race with latest exhibition, Fury Road and Time Hill. They're good races. I don't think there's a Monkfish out there at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fair.
I'm sure there's many Monkfishes out there.
We just haven't seen them yet.
Don't know.
Right, let's have a look at the Ballymore, shall we? Dysart Dynamo is the favourite at 4-1 with Paddy Power. Sir Gerhard is 9-2. Journey With Me, 11-2. Journey With Me, what is he doing? Because he was down, entered at the meeting.
Goes to Nace, as far as I know.
Goes to Nace for an auction race.
Novice hurdle that Martin Brasley's horse won, City Island.
City Island won en route to Ballymore.
It's a race restricted to horses that were sold at a sale for X amount of money that were designed not really for horses like Journey With Me, but they do slip through the net.
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah, well, that maiden hurdle's working out okay, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So just worry about match practice for him. He's got this massive reputation, as he did from bumpers. I think Patrick won a bumper on him in Gorn, and he was very complimentary of him afterwards. But just experience going to the Albert Bartlett, as you've already mentioned, the Ballymore. He's got a nice profile. Don't know if he's a Bob Olinger. Mm.
Yeah, I'm worried a bit about his experience as well. Let's talk about the classic novices hurdle, which happened at Cheltenham on Saturday. Turned into a bit of a farce, Ruby, because unfortunately Hillcrest was taken out by a faller, Richard Patrick unseated, and we were just left with... Oh, there were some hurdles missing as well.
Yeah, I think the hurdle missing, maybe you could call it a farce. I don't think one horse falling and bringing down the other, that just happens. You can't quite
combined
call that farcical.
With the hurdles, combined with the hurdles missing.
Combined with the hurdle missing. I thought the winner, that's Agent Heskin Road.
North Lodge.
Stayed really well. Outstayed Balco Coastal. Stamina won it for him. I thought he was professional in his jumping. And I think Alan King has a decent horse there.
Just his second start. He's improving in a very fast trajectory.
Big time.
I thought Balco Coastal was better, if I'm honest. I thought the race was going to be handed to him on a plate, so North Lodge surprised me. It was unfortunate that Hillcrest came down because, you know, he was the horse that I was most looking forward to seeing what he had under the bonnet, but there'll be another day.
Would you go to Cheltenham now with Hillcrest, having had that experience?
Yes.
You're always going to say yes. You'll notice I was looking at
Jane. What did he do? He sidestepped the horse on the ground and Richard Patrick unfortunately came off him. It's hardly a bad experience.
No, I'd rather... I just think he's the type for the Sefton. I'd just rather they end him at the Sefton. I think he'd like that.
Yeah. Sure, look, he's a horse for... He's the next many clouds, isn't he? Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, he's a really huge horse. 18 hands, although Jonathan Neeson of Racing TV disputes that. But he's just cast his eye over it. You know, Henry Daly's actually measured
it. He's big.
Yeah. Whereas that's all that Jonathan is prepared to concede. Right. There's a whole string of Willie Mullins trained horses that we need to talk about in this division. Classic Getaway, first of all.
Look, if he hadn't cost £590,000, would you be even talking about him?
570.
Same. Would you be talking about him if you hadn't?
Why was he in the race in Clonmel against Cashback?
Good question. Ask Casey.
Yeah, no, just it was like he obviously went from a 2.5 bumper into this conditions race against a horse rate 141.
He was to run here in the 2.5 mile maiden and missed it, and Willie was keen to get two runs into him if he was to be the horse he's supposed to be, but
it was just interesting.
I'm not sure he looks like it.
Because Utrecht was like obviously way out the back, so if you're taking the form literally, you're thinking, oh God, it's automatic mark of 140, but then you can't take it literally because that's just ridiculous. I was in Punchestown. I thought Paul Townend went for his stick. There, that was a telling sign that there wasn't as much under the bonnet as he was body languages was trying to portray. I'm not convinced at all.
Okay. We've got a question from the audience, haven't we? Howard, you've got a question?
Yeah. At this meeting last year, there were 6 horses who were beaten who went on to win at the festival. Have we seen any today, perhaps?
Good question.
Manilindo.
What about Il Ette Tomp the Boodles, perhaps?
Yeah.
Maybe like you like him.
Yeah, I clocked it as an eye catcher. We said it on television earlier. Il Ette Tomp, and I should know, but was that Il Ette Tomp's second or third run?
Third.
Debut, wasn't it?
Debut
two
for Willie, but it'll need 2 more to qualify for the Boodles.
Right, okay. I thought he only went on the flat in France. Got that wrong?
Twice in France, so that's his third run. Possibly, but if you factor in that the Irish handicapper is going to put her even 7 or 8 behind the winner, and then add on what the English handicapper will do, she'd have too much weight in the Boodles for Willie to run her.
Weren't they campaigners? The horse is a grade one.
Do it, exactly.
Potentially.
Be a novice again next year.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Triumph, Punchestown, happens to win a grade one, happy days. If it doesn't, supreme mixture.
Finished really strongly, didn't he? Like the head carriage as well in the closing stages. Yeah. He was clearly trying hard. We'll come to the juveniles and discuss them in more detail in a few minutes' time. The nice guy at Nace. Jane, what did you make of that?
I actually have a little link in with the nice guy because my dad had him as a 3-year-old and he was always very straightforward. I don't know what Willie's been doing with him. He's now a 6-year-old. But that seems to be the thing with him. He's very well named. He's extremely straightforward and you can see why they went straight over hurdles with him because of his age. And he's, I think, deceivingly good.
We were feeding him up so he could take the training. Get it in there since he didn't get it as a younger horse.
Jimmy's at home throwing stuff at the telly.
I'm glad you're socially distanced.
Mary's going to kill me. But look, yeah, he was good. He's a horse that keeps surprising us on the track, doesn't show a whole pile at home, but keeps winning, and they're horses you have to like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is he an Albert Bartlett project?
I would have thought so, yeah. But again, doesn't have the profile.
Very much not.
Unless he's Bobsworth, yeah.
In which case
or,
he has.
Or Millie Lindo, yeah.
Kilcrutz. Kilcrutz managed to win. What did you make of that?
Out now 2 miler, ran him in the wrong race at Christmas by a stowaway of a broken hearted mare. I don't know what we were doing.
Were you impressed with it?
No.
Weren't you?
It was a no race, wasn't it?
It was a no race, but I thought the way he did it was impressive. If he hadn't run twice and got beaten twice, we'd all be talking about him at the top of the market.
But he has.
Yeah, but I think he has his excuses for his weak finish here behind Journey With Me. And the first day, any horse can get beaten the first day. And he got beaten by a horse, Largy DeBee, who might be okay. So
it was 2.5 as well here at Christmas. So made 2 miles, obviously, does suit him. And he has stole away. Champagne Fever went to win a Supreme with not exactly an unblemished CV. So
he cut out really good fractions there when he won last time. I mean, I know there was nothing that wanted to live with him, and only one even tried to live with him, but they couldn't because of the way he was going. I was pleasantly surprised at going back over it.
There was one horse tried to stay with him, and he was burnt. And when he came back into the ring, which in Punchtown, our Racing TV prize position is right beside the winner's enclosure, and he wasn't not a bother. So it was a good gallop.
Where is Classic Getaway? Apparently, wasn't he?
He was tired, getting a good blow, but yeah, Kilcrutz had the benefit of 2 runs, I suppose. But.
And the first time tongue-tied, do you think that made a difference? Because he sort of wobbled
massive
under pressure previously.
Hmm? Massive, according to the trainer.
Really? Yeah, something helped, I think.
That's what he said. Massive difference.
He could be seriously overpriced because the other horses, you know, his stable companions and Nicky Henderson's pair have been doing all the winning, and he's just come back with what looks to the naked eye a sort of meh win, but actually he's quite good.
Yeah, physically, if you look at him, he's tall and he's big, but he's very, his barrel is quite narrow. So I think he's got more than we've seen. And if you take a line that he's quite tightly rated with Sir Gerhard in bumpers, and Sir Gerhard's top of the market or near top of the market, he might be value, yeah. Mm.
The last one to talk about is State Man. State Man at Limerick?
Ruby.
Yeah, I thought he was impressive. He couldn't do any more than he did. Richie Deegan rode him. He was fancied here in the opening maiden hurdle on St. Stephen's Day, 26th of December. Fell at the second last. Horse we always liked, and he won well.
Do you see him as at the festival?
Either or, I would say, depending on what happens tomorrow and the build-up to Cheltenham. But he settled fine for Richie. He looked like a horse that could go further races behind the bridle. But I don't think he's slow either. I think he's pretty adaptable.
You mentioned tomorrow in the Tattersall's Ireland Hurdle. Jane, what do you think of that?
Tell me what's in it. You caught me on that.
Sir Gerhard's in it.
Oh, minor detail, Tree Stripe Life. Tree Stripe Life, I'm a big fan of. I was a big fan of him going into the bumper last year, and he's no value. 9-2, sure. The last time I checked, anyway, for tomorrow, he's no value. Statuaire, the handicapper obviously doesn't rate the Royal Bond at all. She's rated 135. My mate Mozzie, who I thought was the best horse on the day in Fairy House, rated 141. This is going to be informative. Sir Gerhard leaned a little bit left here.
A little bit?
Yeah. I know Cheltenham's left and take it all in his stride, but is there a reason for that?
I think he could lie both ways. Okay. I think even in Cheltenham off the bend, he was lying left with Rachel and ends up going very right. I think he can go both directions.
And what would that be? Why does he do that?
I have no idea. I'd love to know. If you could talk, we'd ask him. But I love him. I think he'll win tomorrow.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Confidence. Right. Okay. So let's have a look at the betting. The Sky Bet Supreme betting is Constitution Hill at 2-1, Dysart Dynamo at 4-1, John Bond 9-2, Sir Gerhard at 5-1, Kilcrutz at 14-1.
Get on.
With Paddy Power. I mean, that is a big price.
Invest your money, buddy.
Which of those do you think is actually going to end up there? I mean, tomorrow is going to decide the destination of Dysart Dynamo and Sir Gerhard.
Well, Kilcrutz definitely won't go up and trip, so he's definitely
well, that's another
reason concrete for 2 miler,
Stowaway out of a broken hearted bear, I'm telling you, he's running in the spring.
Dysart Dynamo won't go up and trip either. He's been class at 2 miles.
He has been class at 2 miles, and tomorrow maybe Sir Gerhard will be 2, and Willie will have 3 plus Statement 4.
Okay.
Get one on the board early.
Yeah. Talking of races that Willie Mullins is long suited in, the Dawn Run Novices Hurdle, Allegory de Vassy is 7-2, Brandy Love 9-2, Dino Blue is 13-2. Allegory de Vassy ran in the Sol Arena, beat Brandy Love with Grangy falling. What did you make of that form?
Sure, Brandy Love came out of it more credit, having acted like an absolute numpty. Keen, she's been keen in bumpers, jumped way erratic left. Haven't seen Paul struggle with a horse like that since York Hill and Aintree. It was very tough for him, and she still finished second. It was a huge compliment to her. Allegory de Vassy, in contrast, completely straightforward. Looks like a lovely filly. Obviously, a lot of talent. I thought Grangy was beaten when she fell, but Brandy Love came out with stars to me.
Allegory de Vassy, bit airy, isn't she, with her?
Looks like a mare crying out for a fence, doesn't she? But she's very professional. She was... did it well. I don't think Sean O'Keefe, to his body language, always seemed to suggest that he was just waiting for Brandy Love to go left again and go by. He was quite confident that he was always going to beat her, and Brandy Love going left will suit her at Cheltenham, but can you go that left?
Well, he was also talking about putting headgear on, wasn't he, because there isn't a continuous inside running rail.
No, so she lands in and jumps the water jump and comes back out.
But is that new for her? She, like, I knew she had been keen in her bumpers.
She did it in the bumpers. She did it here at Leopardstown, didn't she? Hung to her left.
In Nace, she was a little bit, but it was never that bad.
No.
She's definitely got worse.
Yeah.
Who do you like?
She's in her teenage years.
Who do I like? I'd say Dino Blue's form got
a
boost.
It's the right answer.
Got a boost the other day.
Lydia's on.
La Prima Donna and My Lighthouse were going to be first and second in Limerick last week. La Prima Donna slipped on landing at the second last. Which would have won a one, I couldn't tell you. But Dino Blue kicked the two of them out of the way at Clonmel.
And that was her first start, wasn't
first
it?
First ever start, yeah.
So
half-sister Blue, sorry, is she?
Correct.
Yeah.
So
that's me on pedigree, yeah. She's that good, isn't
he's,
it?
I'm teaching him.
Well done. He's a slow learner.
Slow learner.
She's got a really good jumping style as well. I really do like Dino Blue. Right, okay, so those were the novice hurdlers. Let's move on now to the juvenile hurdlers and talk about the Racing TV-sponsored spring juvenile hurdle that we saw today, in which Baban won. He'd got that form with Pied Piper. The wise guys were backing him after Pied Piper dotted up in the finesse, but he's proved them right.
Yeah, pace, speed. I was a big Fieldor fan. I still am, but he didn't have this pace. Fieldor and Icarellin, they're both pure National Hunt stout bred. This guy's Galloway... out, I think, Mass Marvel of all guys' family. He's got pace. He did a lot wrong today. Didn't think he would do lean right. Paul was obviously tracking Davy, and there was no horse on his outside. Maybe that kind of accentuated what he was doing, but he did a lot of things wrong, and he still showed pace. I was impressed. Mm.
Gordon Elliott didn't seem that disheartened about Fieldor. He felt that this track, speedy horse, would be against Fieldor, whereas Fieldor going to 2 mile one, look at your grin, 2 mile one for the Triumph, he seemed to be fairly unbothered.
I've heard lots of people call lots of tracks different things, but that's the first time I've ever heard anyone call the middle track in Leopardstown a speed track.
Maybe I could be misquoting. Gordon, if I'm misquoting you, I apologise, but that's what was passed on to me.
Yeah, no, that's not a speed track. You're in the middle of the race course here in Leopardstown, which is watered all summer for the flat racing, and it is definitely always holds more moisture. And it's why the likes of, say, Sharjah, horses like that don't perform at Christmas and have never performed at this time of the year. They're two different race courses, the inside track and that middle track. So, no, they weren't on a speed track today. And I thought that would actually suit Fieldor before the race.
Right, OK. And so you don't see that form being turned around?
I was a massive Fieldor fan too. I didn't think he found as much as maybe he did here at Christmas. And I thought his form was quite strong. He made a mistake at the last, which was uncharacteristic for him. But Vauban was very, very good. Eichler Allen didn't keep going.
Made loads of mistakes. His jumping was bad.
It had to have been brilliant at Christmas. So I thought Vauban was very, very good. But Fieldor, I was slightly disappointed with him, yeah.
As a result of Vauban beating Fieldor and Pied Piper dotting up in the finesse and absolutely humiliating the horses that we thought might be able to go a bit in Britain, which they clearly can't. How do you think Gordon Elliott is going to deploy his horses at the festival?
That's a great question. He's got a lot of juveniles. He's going to have plenty of them in the Fred Winter. Again, Fieldor is new approach out of John Gosden's. Vauban, mile and a half, Lissa winner in France. They're both speed. They're typical Triumph horses. Fildora is entitled to improve. But Davy was always in the right position today to press pace, to make sure that it didn't turn into a game of pace. And despite his best efforts, it still did. That maiden hurdle in Punchestown is probably going to be the Triumph hurdle.
What do you think? How do you think they'll deploy him?
I don't know, but I think that all those fans of British racing will be very happy that the Fred Winter exists.
I can't disagree with you, sadly. ICO, Intern de Civila.
I'd say you have a lot of Fred Winter horses in the UK.
I hope that they're at least good enough for that.
There was one horse today, your question, what horses got beaten. The Tide Turns, I think, emerged with a lot of credit.
Yeah.
And if he goes to Fred Winter, I think he'll have a lot of fans.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he ran really, really well in the spring. Right. Changes. We've got Vauban 11-4 from 6-1 for the JCB Triumph Hurdle. And I'm going to mention at this point the champion bumper because we saw Fasil Vega win really well at the end at the last race here today. 11-10 from 4-1. We've also got a question from Leon Moss on Facebook. Does Fasil Vega's impressive win mean Mercury would be saved for a four-year-old bumper rather than go to Cheltenham?
I think Willie said that at Goran Park on the aftermath of the Mercury winning. Again, I don't mean to be given out to you, but he doesn't say that much, but when he does say, listen to him. Mm. Willie did say he wouldn't be keen to go to Cheltenham.
Yeah, okay. he's got other bullets to fire. That horse today was exceptionally good because there was a lot of dreams shattered by him today.
Yeah, he was very impressive indeed. Just briefly coming back to the juveniles, Ruby has mentioned the Boodles Fred Winter. At the moment, Champion Green is the favourite for it, who went at Nace.
Yeah, he's a Divil. He's keen. He got his own way in Nace. We didn't learn a lot because he didn't beat a whole pile. Wouldn't be a fan.
Okay. And I have to ask you, who the hell is Gaelic Warrior, Ruby? A horse of Willie Mullins's that features towards the top?
He's dark. Dark Bay.
Right. Not a dark horse, just
not
dark
black
bay.
Though.
No, just dark bay, yeah.
Okay.
Big horse, galloper. That's about as much as I know about him. But run three. Dark Bay.
Run three times in France.
Yeah.
So could rock up first time out for Willie in the Boodles itself.
Like Ciel de Neige did. Ciel de Neige was placed off three runs in France. First run for Willie was in the Boodles Fred Winter. He could well do that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Autumn Couleur did that last year, didn't he?
No, he ran the Triumph.
Yeah, but he did first up for Willie.
First run start, yeah. Mm. He only had one run and one win. This horse qualifies for a handicap mark that way.
Ah, yes.
Which is impossible for fences to try and get a handle on.
And I don't know. I just want to say the very same. How does he give him a mark?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he'll already have one sorted. Don't worry about that. That's all under control.
Really?
After what you gave away there anyway, his colour.
Right then, so to wrap up the show, we're going to talk about tomorrow's racing, the second day of the Dublin Racing Festival. Obviously, we've touched on some of them when they've been relevant to the different divisions that we've been talking about, but we haven't talked about the Chanel Farmer Irish Champion Hurdle. And before we talk about Honeysuckle, let's talk about Appreciate It, who was not declared. What's the thinking about that?
I would say Willie didn't think taking on a race-fit Honeysuckle was a great place to start your season. I'd say it's as simple as that, and that's the respect and regard that Honeysuckle deserves to be held in.
Seasonal debut in the Champion Hurdle for Appreciate It?
Could be. He has the option to Red Mills, but whatever about with another 6 weeks training under your belt, taking her on and being disappointed at Cheltenham, taking her on here and being disappointed and trying to recover for Cheltenham, too big an ask.
What might we learn from the Irish Champion Hurdle tomorrow?
That she's alive?
That's a great question. I think she's going to draw a crowd. She's special and she should be admired as such. I think Frankel maybe wasn't admired as he should have been until his four-year-old year. Well, she's now eight and possibly in her prime. I think maybe Echoes and Rain, we might learn whether she'll revert back to the mares or whatever division she'll go in. Heaven help us, might go to the mares as well. San Juan, if he settles, you know, he completely took the mick at Christmas.
Mm-hmm. More from Santa here, maybe?
Yeah, of course he's the improver, but it's so hard for a five-year-old. I'm really appreciative that they pitched him in here. They could have stayed at home. But pace in the race, Rachel's just going to do what she wants it to.
The Dublin Chase, Ruby. Chacun Pessoir is declared.
That's his doubters, and I don't know, regardless of what he does tomorrow, if he's going to silence all those doubters or not. He's a great record at Leopardstown. He seems to be in pretty good form, so hopefully he'll get himself back on a winning thread and put that Tingle Creek run behind him. But he has done. There's no doubt about it. Like, two of his last three runs have been disappointing.
You've got about 20 seconds to sum up the Dublin Chase from your perspective.
He's a stone better than everything else at Leopardstown.
Didn't even need the 20 seconds. That's
pro,
class.
Pro, absolutely.
I'm putting the shade. Right, thank you. Jane, thank you so much for your thoughts. Ruby, thanks for your thoughts. Thank you, everyone here, for sticking with us and asking some questions. I hope you've enjoyed it, the crowd.
Yay!
Good work, good work. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching on Extra and via our YouTube and our Facebook pages. We are back on Thursday, aren't we, for a traditional
Road to Cheltenham? In London.
Yeah, we'll be in the studio, so make sure you join us on Thursday at 9 o'clock. But this has been the Road to Cheltenham Roadshow. I hope you've enjoyed it. Bye-bye. We'll see you soon.
The home of jump racing. This is where the magic happens. Feel like a Cheltenham favourite with Paddy Power.